Hello and welcome to the Living Deeply Stories podcast. I'm your host, Meryl Parker, and today I'm going to be talking about my home city of Perth in 2022 and some facts about Perth and give you some more insight on it, because recently when I was on Polly Alexander's Feminine Millionaire show, she got me to say where I was, and I said Perth, West Australia, and it is apparently the most isolated capital city in the world. Well, I have found out that it is not the most, so I will tell more about that. I was interested, and she was asking me if it felt isolated, and I said yes. And so that inspired me to want to talk more about Perth, because I post about Perth all the time on my Instagram. But I think that gives an impression, but maybe it's will be good to record this podcast, and then I'll be able to share some more about Perth and what it is like to live in Perth and be from Perth. So yes, I was born here and I lived here till I was 22, and then I moved overseas I would come back and forwards between Perth and overseas until I was 36, and since then I have been living here and just going away for holiday. So I love Perth now, and I'm going to talk about my dear Perth today. So Perth is the capital and largest city of Western Australia, with a population of just over 2 million people in 2022. It is located on the coast of the Indian Ocean and the Swan River, which winds its way through the city. So starts from Fremantle or ends in Fremantle, but let me take it from my perspective. I live in Fremantle, so from Fremantle winding up all the way to Perth and then further on to the Swan Valley. So because of we're on the west coast, we have beautiful sunsets. We have a big blue sky. I don't know why the sky just seems so huge here, but it does. Maybe because there's no mountains and we're at sea level, I don't know. But I always have the impression when I come back to Perth that it's so, yeah, the sky just seems so much bigger here than in other places I've lived. So Perth, the area, has been inhabited by Indigenous Australians for at least 38,000 years. The area was inhabited by the Whadjuk people, who are one of several Indigenous groups in southwestern West Australia, which make up the Noongar people. So the Noongar people is the larger group name, and then the Whadjuk people were particularly from the Perth area. And the river in particular was sacred to the Whadjuk people. And actually, Perth used to be made up a lot more of swampy kind of areas with little lakes, wetlands. And we don't have much of the wetlands left today, but there are some. So Perth was founded by Captain James Stirling in 1829 as the administrative centre of the Swan River Colony. And when I went to the Black Lives Matter protests and talks in 2020, I learned that this Stirling is actually quite a triggering or offensive name for the Indigenous people, or some of them who were speaking. And so we have one highway in Perth called Stirling Highway, and it feels very disrespectful to them to call it as such. For them, it's like saying like Hitler Avenue or something like that. So But anyway, because that was the coloniser in 1829, and this area was called the Swan River Colony. So it's called the Swan River because it's named after the black swan. So they're native to Perth or West Australia. And I don't know if they're in other parts of Australia, but they're definitely native to West Australia. The black swan is smaller than the white swan, a little, and it is black with a red beak. I don't know if you've seen a picture of them. And Perth was called the Swan River Colony. And then in 1856, it was granted or declared a city, and it was named after Perth in Scotland. So in 1890, the Swan River Colony was renamed the State of Western Australia, I guess with Federation. I don't know when that was, 1905 or something. And West Australia was originally a penal colony for British convicts. So prisoners were sent here from England, and that's what the colony was for. In Australia, we drive on the left and we use the Australian dollar. So let me talk about how Perth is laid out. So there's a long coastline on the Indian Ocean to the west of the city, with, of course, houses and other developments along there. In the east, there are hills, the Perth Hills, and right down the middle from north to south, there is a freeway that is 72 kilometres long. So it is very long, and homes are always being built along there because the central business district, the city, is in the middle with its skyscrapers, and a lot of people work there. So people like to live along the freeway because they can get into the city more quickly or travel, I don't know. But there is also a train line that goes right along the middle and along the freeway. And so you can drive your car to a station and then catch the train into the city or wherever you're going. Fremantle is the port city, or it is a suburb of Perth, but it's considered a city as well, or it used to be. Sorry, I'm not like super precise on the facts here. I just wanted to tell you a bit about Perth. And Fremantle has a lot of historic buildings. And then, as I said, the Swan River winds to Perth CBD from here. We have the port, of course, where we have all the shipping containers and the cranes. It's very beautiful. And then most people in Perth live in houses. That's an important thing to know. So we're not very densely populated, though nowadays, I mean, in the past, the blocks were huge, so people have very big gardens. And nowadays people subdivide their blocks into, two or four or three, and then they build another house on there to sell or just sell the land. And growing up, it was really felt to me like where I grew up, like suburbia. Although when I was a kid, we lived near, like we played with the neighbours and everything, and could just go outside and play all day, and live near some bushland and some wetland, some lake, so we could just go off and play and come back. But when I was a teenager or 11, we moved to a new development that didn't have didn't have much plant life and kids my age around, or I didn't know them. So it was, yeah, it felt like boring suburbia to me where we lived, whereas now I like it. I think that the suburbs have, yeah, they've taken on lives of their own. Although people from Perth, yeah, we do live in houses, so when you come home, you kind of go into your house and don't, there's not that much life on the street as if, you know, if you're in a city somewhere else in the world. People are friendly to the neighbours and everything, and people like to go out exercising, walking in the evening. So there is that kind of liveliness, but not lively as in like shops and bustling, you know, activity going on mostly. So where I live, Fremantle, is a bit more of a kind of city vibe, and also within the city, the CBD, and also there are other pockets around where there's more walkability and there's more, yeah, lively bars, small bars and restaurants and that kind of stuff. So people, there's more happening on the streets there. Now, the most expensive homes and suburbs are around the river or the ocean or the city. As for the weather, Perth has a Mediterranean climate with hot summers and moderate winter rainfall. Actually, the Wajuk people have six seasons. So often you hear people from Perth saying like, oh, it's so wet for, I don't know, like, oh, the summer hasn't come yet, but in December, say, but for the Wajuk people, it wasn't the hottest season, was not November or December. The hottest season was January and February. So it goes like that. So January and February is the hot season, and then so on and so forth. but November, we would consider spring here, end of spring, and if we're talking about the European way of talking about the seasons. And so the high temperature would be like 26.7 degrees and the low 14.3 degrees. But here now it's October, mid-October, and today I heard cicadas for the first time, and that to me sounds like summer, so it was quite exciting. Perth has more sunshine than any other Australian capital city. We average over 8 hours of sunshine per day all year round, including in winter. And that's the thing, is that although we have a lot of sunshine, our homes are not, well, especially maybe some of the newer homes are designed differently, but traditionally, or like the last, I don't know, up to now, the homes have been not designed for cold. So in winter, it's cold inside. I mean, we have heaters and stuff, but it's not like, I have a friend who is from Britain and had lived in different places, and she said Perth is the only place she's ever lived where you have to put on a coat to go into the house in the winter. So yes, it's generally warmer outside than inside in the winter here. And in the summer, it can be extremely hot, and often people from Perth will stay indoors in the very hot days in the summer, like staying in the air conditioning or in the pool. A lot of people might have pools at their home or public pools or going to the beach, but generally we're told to avoid the height of the sun between 10 and or 12 and 3 p.m. especially. And we don't have really long days here either. So, you know, the day is in summer, like from 5 a.m. till 7 p.m., something like that. So it's not like in Europe or the Northern Hemisphere or, like, I don't know, where that London or whatever, that England, that is till 9 p.m. Because it's actually really hot. Like when you're coming home from work or school at 4 p.m. in summer is or 3 p.m., it's really hot. But then it's really cold on the public transport, and so you have to bring a jumper, and all the offices are air-conditioned overly. That's also, I mean, when I was teaching at a school, this was always the issue with the students complaining about the air conditioning, and I know, like, on the buses and everything as well. It's just crazy. But we do have great weather, so we do love generally a lot of people, not everyone, because a lot of people don't actually live that close to the beach, let me say that, because if you live in the hills, you don't live near the beach. But people who do live nearby generally love to go to the beach. And, yes, the outdoor lifestyle is more what Perth is about. So we have amazing parks, gardens, well, our own gardens at home mostly, and also other gardens, but mostly we enjoy our home gardens, but great parks, beaches, and, yes, the weather. So what I found was when I lived in London when I was 22, there you would, like, there was more of a nightlife because you didn't mind. The weather was not generally not good in the day, so you were happy to stay indoors being hungover or whatever, sleeping in the day. Whereas in Perth, it's like it's all about the day. So we really have this outdoor lifestyle and exercising or picnics or barbecues, boat parties when I was younger, or festivals. So when I moved back to Perth then at 23, I no longer wanted to, you know, drink so much and whatever, because I didn't want to be lying indoors all day. So about Perth's isolation, so Perth is actually not the most isolated capital city in the world. We are number two. So the most isolated capital in the world is actually Honolulu in Hawaii. But Perth is still very isolated because it is 5 hours to Singapore from Perth, but also 5 hours to Sydney. And I think Adelaide, maybe 3 hours, might be the closest, and it's 3 hours to Bali. So Bali and Perth have a symbiotic relationship where we need them because we can go there and feel like we're overseas and enjoy a different kind of atmosphere with people from all over the world and, well, a whole lot of other people from Perth as well, and just live it up in Bali, whether it be for a long weekend or a week or a few weeks. That is something that people from Perth generally love to do, and I think people from Bali also appreciate it because we bring a lot of wealth into the country as well. Not the country, the island. Okay, so Perth is, firstly, the size of West Australia is impressive. So West Australia, where Perth is Perth has 2 million people and the rest of West Australia probably has 500,000 people or maybe 1 million by now. But West Australia is the size of Western Europe. So it is really big. It's like a third of Australia. And, yeah, so but very low population because it is mostly desert and sand. But most people live along the coast, and we have attractions, different attractions that you can visit, but it takes like 3 hours or 5 hours or 12 hours or 15 hours to drive there, or you can fly there. Broome is a famous place in West Australia as well. I'm not sure if you've heard of that. Anyway, Perth itself is larger than Berlin, but has around half the population. So as I said before, the population of Perth is just over 2 million people, and Perth is one of the fastest growing cities in Australia because of the boom in wealth due to the mining industry mostly. And Perth is home to 4 of the 5 most advantaged or affluent suburbs in the country. So that's pretty impressive. Never knew that myself. But because of the rapid population growth, there has also been more of a divide between the upper and lower income residents, and the weekly rent has apparently risen by about 80% in the last 5 years alone, with mortgage payments doubling. Okay, I'm getting this from a website. I didn't check it, so sounds about right. There is less homelessness than a few years back. It was really bad, but now, I mean, there still is the problem of homelessness, and some of that is caused by, well, I read something the other day, something about like 80% of people who are homeless have experienced trauma, and some of that is due to drug addiction, like, or mental illness, and then I guess as well purely because of the rise in the cost of living here. I remember particularly like when I was, it was like 2007, around then, that was like the first real mining boom in my lifetime, and the cost of things just skyrocketed at that time, and it has kept increasing ever since. So, I mean, I don't find it that expensive. I mean, having lived in Switzerland, London, and New York, there are different things. Some things in Perth, yeah, would be more expensive. Like for example, in Switzerland, what I found, it's expensive to eat out there in restaurants and stuff. I would say more expensive than Perth. But for things like organic food or groceries, Switzerland probably cheaper than Perth. And I would say London too, like in London and New York as well. Like you can, there's such a range of prices for food, you know, like you can buy a sandwich at the corner store or you can eat in a fancy restaurant. So it's hard to really make that comparison. I would say that the average cost of food is probably similar to London and New York in Perth. The thing is here, though, is that in Australia generally is that we have quite a high minimum wage. So, like, I don't know what it is now, but I know that it might be like $15 Australian, which is like $10 US. And so when you... a waitress or waiter works, then they probably get paid more like $20 to $25 at least an hour, and which is quite a lot, which is like in US dollars about $15 to $20 US dollars an hour, and don't really get many tips, I would say, because of that. People know that, you know, that's not the really the system here, though people are very generous here as well, can be. But we don't have that much of a tipping. It's more just like a extra thing if you get a tip, but it's not that you rely, like when you work in the US, you rely on the tips. That's your income, because you don't get paid that much by the establishment. You get paid in tips. But, yes, it's not like that here. So, when my ex-husband, he worked at a bar in Perth, which was like 7 years ago now, and he was getting $25 an hour to work there. And then when it is a public holiday, it's like doubles. So some places don't even open on public holidays, or they pass that cost on to the customer, because otherwise they can't open. So the economy of Perth is based largely on mining, as I said, but also agriculture, so like sheep and wheat, as well as, I guess, wine and other, I don't know what else, but other things. Mining, like there's gas, lithium, iron ore, diamonds, gold. And tourism is the other thing. So I've noticed that there are a lot of tourists around again, so that's good. And the other thing to know about Perth and wealth is that Perth is full of millionaires. I didn't know this, but due to the local mining industry, Perth is actually home to more self-made millionaires per capita than any other city in the world. So I don't know if this is still the case, but at the time this person wrote this blog post, it was. But I don't know now today, with like digital nomads and digital industry, I wonder if this is still the same. Probably. Okay. I guess, I mean, I wonder what they're considering by millionaires, though, because if you take the cost of someone's home, then yeah, like most people are probably millionaires. I don't know though. Anyway, it is a very wealthy state and a wealthy place. So, what kind of people live in Perth? Well, apparently 60% of people living in Perth were born in Australia, and that is less than the national average of 70%. 1 in 10 of Perth residents were born in England, and I guess they like to live here because it's very sunny and they can buy a place by the beach, and also because it's closer to Europe and the UK than any other city in Australia. So you can take a flight now on Qantas from Perth to London, a 17-hour flight. And, yeah, you wake up, you take off in Perth, you don't have to change anymore, and you wake up in London after a nice sleep, hopefully. Okay, and then other groups we have here is that New Zealanders, 3.1%. South Africans, 1.8%, Indians, 1.6% of the population, and Malaysians, 1.4%. So what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I have heard that the fastest growing nationality of immigrants are Indians as well. But Perth has a long history of immigration and ethnicities. So during the 1950s and 60s, there was an influx of immigrants from Italy, Greece, Germany, Portugal, Croatia. And Perth also has a small Jewish community. So a lot of my friends growing up, well, everyone in my friendship group were from somewhere else, like, or their parents were from someone else, like Macedonian or, yeah, so very, very mixed Italians. And one of my friends is like Burmese, Spanish background, yeah. So personally, I had the experience because I was an English as a second language teacher for many years, and education is, I have heard, Australia's second biggest industry. It's a billion-dollar industry. So a lot of students will come here because Australia has some more flexible visa kind of systems or options, and because we have a high standard of education as well, and also because they market and they promote it. So when I started out in 2001 in the ESL world, our students were mostly Japanese, Korean, and Swiss German, and then other Europeans. So Swiss Germans would come because they needed to do this particular English exam, but then I don't know what happened. I know that they started doing that exam at school, and then maybe they just got bored of coming to Perth, and so they went elsewhere in the world. Then about 2004, we had a lot of Brazilian and Colombian students coming because they could get the student visa. And with the student visa, you're actually allowed to work 20 hours a week. So it makes it very affordable for people to come on a student visa and then work to support themselves while they're here. And it was really nice when I traveled in Asia and then I met some student Brazilian or Colombians who were from studying in different parts of Australia, and then they were able to travel with their the money that they earned and saved, because that's the surprising thing for them, was that even if you're working as a waitress or a cleaner, you can still have a good standard of living here. So even though the difference between the rich and the poor has widened, but we still have mostly the largely a middle class society. So, so there's not that big difference like in South America or in India between the rich and the poor, where the poor probably could never, or the people who are working as a cleaner probably could never afford to leave the country. So it's, yeah, different. And so these students, they were highly educated, like engineers, scientists, and they were coming here maybe with the idea that they would like to possibly immigrate, see what that's like. And in the meantime, studying English or other things to have that visa and to work here, until they were able to work out what their options are. Because Australia also has it's a different immigration policy where the country is in need of certain skills, then they put that out that, okay, you can get more points to immigrate if you have these, are in these certain professions, like could be like plumbers, or it could be chefs, it could be engineers or whatever, hairdressers, like it's whatever is needed at the time. And then since 2006, I would say that was when Australia put out or had a reciprocal relationship with certain countries for the working holiday visa. So then people under when I was 22, then it was only, you know, certain countries like the UK we had this agreement with. But when I think it was probably about 2006 that this extended to other countries like France, Italy, and Germany. And so a lot of French, Italian, and Germans, as well as British, but they were there from before, and Irish, and I think Canadian can come too. Now from 2006, especially the French, Italian, and Germans came, and right up until, well, now I've noticed that I can hear French and Italian and German come back again after the lockdown, the pandemic. And so this is, I read an article that it's kind of like another wave of immigration, and it's for, they end up often, especially the French and the Italian, end up staying because of work and financial opportunities here that they don't have back home. So they're staying here and immigrating to Australia in Perth. Perth has a quarter of the people say that they are not religious, and then almost a quarter next is Catholic. So it is traditionally a kind of Christian or Catholic, or I don't know what, England, Church of England, I don't know what, but yeah, now more people will say that they are not religious than any religion. Okay, Perth's attractions. Firstly, King's Park. King's Park, which you might have seen on my Instagram at morelleparker_xx, the link is in the show notes, is the largest inner city park in the world. So it is bigger than Central Park in New York and Hyde Park in London. It covers 4,000 hectares. I don't know how big that is, but probably pretty big. Well, it is pretty big. And there's a war memorial, a tennis club, a reservoir, and many plants and flowers. And I love it because it has the most beautiful view of the city. And then it's also, you can get this feeling of being in the bush without leaving the city. So it's one of my favorite places in Perth. And I recently posted some pictures of it on my Instagram. And Perth, as I said, also has a lot of parks, and people who are not from here comment on that. People from Perth probably don't realize how many parks we have here. And people also have their own gardens in their homes as well. So those are two of the attractions. The third one is the Black Swan, as I talked about. The fourth one is the Swan Valley. So the Swan Valley towards the hills is a place, it's a popular tourist destination, so that it's just 20 minutes from Perth and from the city. And we have over 30 wineries in this region, as well as other things like cheeses. And it's a really fun day to go around tasting the different wines and the other produce from that area. So then the next one, number five of our attractions, is the Quokka. So you might have seen the Quokka selfie. This is Perth's very own marsupial, and it's located at Rottnest Island, which is off the coast of Perth and Fremantle. And it is, looks, it's about the size of a cat, but it looks like it's smiling, and yeah, people often take selfies with it. So it has become world famous for the quokka selfie. And the quokka is native to Rottnest Island. So Rottnest, it is now very popular for swimming, snorkeling, cycling, and staying. You can go there for the day on the ferry. I think it's like 40 minutes or you can stay over there, but it's very popular, so you have to get in, like book it well in advance. And Rottnest was the in the 17th century, the Dutch explorer who discovered Rottnest Island thought that the quokkas looked like giant rats. So that's what the name Rottnest means, rat nest, because of this, the explorer thinking that they were rats. So, yeah, that's the name, Rottnest in Dutch, I guess. And, it was used as a prisoner of war camp during the World Wars, and also for the indigenous people as well, with the in the time of colonization. Sadly, it's actually a very sad place for them now because of that. Okay, and the next one we have, moving on. Number 7, we also have nearby like 3 hours drive south. We call it down south. And one of the famous places down there is Margaret River. So Margaret River has many wineries, and they also have, and surfing as well. And they also have something called the Margaret River Gourmet Escape. It's an annual food and wine festival that attracts top chefs from all over the world to West Australia each year. So I have seen Nigella Lawson there, and I know that like Heston Blumenfeld is his name, has come before, and lots of other of the famous chefs from the UK. So number 8. Perth's attraction. So Perth is home to some of the best beaches in Australia, including Cottesloe Beach, Scarborough Beach and City Beach, and my favourite, South Beach and Port Beach. And you can also take your dog to some of the beaches. So we have certain dog beaches where you can bring your dog and the dog can go swimming. We have a real cafe culture here too. You know, like in the UK, they have more of a like pub culture. In Perth, we have more of a cafe culture. So you can often bring your dog to the cafe, and they might have some water or dog treats that you can buy for the dog. And as well, that a lot of people, well, cycling is very popular, so you might see a whole lot of people in Lycra having a coffee in the middle of their morning ride, or people going out for breakfast or going out for a coffee. So if in Perth, and we have great coffee here as well, cappuccinos and other coffee like with names like flat white, long black. It's the Italian style, but it's developed since then, since it was first brought over here. If you were going to meet a friend, like for a woman anyway, maybe a guy too. Yeah, maybe a guy too. I'm not sure. You have to ask them, but you'd go for a coffee catch up rather than meeting at the pub like in the UK. So the other attraction we have are breweries. So the first one was Little Creatures Brewery, and it is one of the most popular tourist attractions in Fremantle. And so you can try the different beers on offer and you can have meal there and, yeah, really great boutique beers. And but nowadays we have other, not just Little Creatures, but we have other ones in Fremantle too, like Gage Roads and Running with Thieves is another one. So, and there are others in Perth too, these little breweries popping up. So we do have a big beer culture here as well as a big wine culture. And the other thing that's being made here is gin and, yeah, gin. There's a lot of gin made here. And I went to a talk from one of these gin companies and they said what they're actually making is whiskey, but because the whiskey is, it takes 8 years or more to before it's ready. So in the meantime, they're making gin, but they're making really good gin as well. Okay, then number 10, the other things we have, well, we have, I'll go through this quickly. We have the West Australian Museum, which has exhibitions on natural history, Aboriginal, Indigenous culture, maritime history and more. We have the Art Gallery of West Australia, and it is awesome to visit. You can see work by Indigenous artists and other European and contemporary Australian artists as well, and they're often every few months they change some of their what's being showcased. So it's always good to visit. I it's one of my favorite things to do in the city. We have a zoo with over 1,200 animals from all over the world. But what I love more is this place called Caversham Wildlife Park, which is where you can go and actually like feed the kangaroos and interact more with the animals. But the zoo is very popular as well. We have an aquarium, and as I said, we have great coffee and we have good food and the best breakfast as well. So I think Australia is very, like, the quality of food is very high. Because we don't have so much, we have so many different cultures, chefs are always creating different meals and really being creative in that. So without so many restrictions. So definitely recommend the food here. And other than that, we have lots of sporting teams that are popular, like Australian football and as well as soccer, basketball, rugby, baseball. Yeah, so people like to play as well as to watch. And there are also annual events in Perth and festivals like the Perth International Arts Festival, the Fringe World Festival, the Taste of Perth Food Festival, and I love going to the Writers Festivals or the Writers and Readers Festivals they have every year. I think the music scene is quite good. I've heard that there is a big drum and bass scene, or I know there is a drum and bass scene, but apparently it's pretty good. Okay, the drawbacks about Perth are, how long have I been talking for? Let me see. Okay, that's pretty long. The drawbacks about Perth are public transport at night. So because people are so not so densely packed, live mostly in houses, they're, you know, the public transport, and people drive cars here as well, most people. So public transport at night is, there's not that many buses and trains. I mean, there's a lot of trains, but they are buses and not so many. So that can be a drawback. Another one that tourists often surprised about is that in the restaurants, often the kitchens close at 9 p.m. So you have to go for dinner before then. You can stay for longer, but usually they like take their last order by 9 p.m. Number three is that shops close at 6 p.m. mostly. So this is something that people love to shop here and do a lot of online shopping as well. But, it's because of the minimum wage and also because, we just don't have the population for it. So most people go to work and then in the evening they go home and they have to, do dinner or whatever, go to their activities or whatever it is. So take their kids around to their different sporting activities, look after their garden, water the garden, watch the news, whatever it is. So the shops close at 6 p.m. mostly. And another drawback of people from Perth or Perth is that people, as I said, can be quite busy due to keeping up the homes and gardens and also with the kids and the sporting events and the birthday parties and all that. People from Perth are very friendly, but I have been told that it's harder to make friends with people from Perth because, one, that we are busy between our family, work and friendships already, and it's not a transient place like London or New York where people are coming and going and you can make friends with other people from different cities like that. And then the next one I would say, or the last one I would say, is the sharks. So, yes, we have had some shark attacks here. I mean, I swim in the ocean. I don't go too far out. I just stay at the shore mostly. But and the helicopters patrol the areas, and now they're putting in some kind of shark reef kind of nets in Cottesloe Beach for this year, trying that because, yeah, that is something that is definitely a drawback. There has been a few great white attacks and deaths over the last 20 years. And then lastly, we have some Hollywood stars who were born, raised, or studied here. So that includes Isla Fisher. So she was in The Great Gatsby, and she's also the wife of Sacha Baron Cohen. And I actually saw him here in Perth when they were here. I saw him on High Street one day earlier this year. And he did a few comedy shows just by surprise, and I wanted to see him like somewhere, and I manifested that. I went for lunch, and then I was sitting on High Street, a quiet street, and he walked past me. So yeah, I saw him. And the other, Sam Worthington, is also from Perth. He was in Avatar. Melissa George was from Mulholland Drive. I don't know what she's been in lately. And also the late Heath Ledger, who was in The Joker, in The Dark Knight, and many other films. Great actor. So I think I've talked enough, and that is all for today. I hope you have enjoyed my summary of Perth, and if I left something out, please tell me. You can contact me from my Instagram, as I said. The link is in the show notes, or from my website, again, in the show notes. And I hope to hear from you. You can also subscribe if you want more from me, and leave me a review as well. That would be awesome. Thanks so much. And until next time, wishing you lots of love. Bye.